Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Weissoon. If you enjoy real-world hunting and fishing talk, you're really going to enjoy listening to my good friend, Luke Clayton, and his guest for the next hour.
This is David Fox, and welcome to Outdoors with Luke Clayton and Friends. Luke has been a recognized outdoors writer for the past 3 decades and writes for a host of outdoor publications. Luke pens a weekly newspaper outdoors column that appears in over 40 Texas newspapers. Luke is on the pro staff of Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Smoking techs, electric smokers, feel free to contact Luke through his website, catfishradio.org. Now let's join Luke and his guests for this week's show.
Well, folks, Happy New Year. It is your old buddy Luke Clayton and my longtime great friend Larry Weissoon. We're here with you. We're going to start the new year off with a bang, literally, hopefully. Larry, hunting. Oh, Happy New Year, Larry.
Happy New Year to you and all the folks out there who happen to be listening to us today, regardless whether it's on the radio or, you know, later on on the podcast. But you're right, we're off to a new year. I'm getting ready to head to the Choctaw for the Choctaw Hunting Lodge for a quick hunt, more of a hosted hunt than anything else. Mr. Steve Hornady, whose family owns Hornady Ammo. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, Steve bought a hunt at our DSC Foundation gala that we had this spring, or last summer, I guess. Now, and it's for a buffalo up on the Choctaw. So Steve's going to come up there. We're going to meet him there. Actually, we got Jeff Rice coming in as well, too, to film that hunt. But going to be a great time. And with all that said, well, I need to thank not only Steve Hornady, but the entire Hornady family and the company as well for being a sponsor on this particular podcast and this particular radio show that I do with you for many, many years. They're accurate, deadly, dependable, and no doubt about it. Of course, also, I mentioned DSC and the DSC Foundation. DSC is, to me, the greatest organization there is, conservation-wise, and people learn more about it when by going to biggame.org. And also, that said, we need to remind people that I think it's February 6th, 7th, and 8th is the DSC convention in Atlanta, Georgia. So, you know, we got a bunch of folks going there and hopefully have a whole lot more folks going there. But a lot of good stuff going on. We'll talk about some of these other sponsors down the way a little bit.
You bet you like Stealth Vision. How about that? You're not gonna find a better scope than Stealth Vision. We both use those, and just have to brag on these people. I mean, my gosh, it's not just stuff we've read about. We use this stuff
on a daily basis. Actually, yeah, when you get right down to it.
Yeah.
I've spent a lot of time hunting here as of late, and we're getting ready to to do some doe hunts here before too very long. I think what I'm going to do on these doe hunts this year is that you and I are doing on the Cotton and Ranch or the Choctaw or wherever else it is we're going to be hunting whitetail does, you know, this late part of the hunt, I guess, in hunting season. But I'm going to be shooting a lot of my Taurus Ragent Hunter pistols. I know you're probably going to do some muzzleloader hunting, and so I think if I'll do the pistol side of thing or the handgun side of thing, you know, we'll pretty much cover a lot of bases. And I know you're going to do some air rifle shooting of does as well too. So, you know, there's still some good hunting coming up here in January and February if you happen to live in Texas.
You bet. And I've got a new CVA. It's the Cascade. I have the longer barrel that we have that you were there when Joe Cunningham put that great Stealth Vision scope on it. But they've got a shorter barrel model of the Cascade that I really like. A shorter barrel. That's a long range shooting machine. You know that. You've seen it. But I'm anxious. Hopefully, take some late season game with that too. Got so many options to shoot. You know, just have to decide which one I'm going to use each time. But I'm anxious to get, I've never owned a 308. I have shot the M14 a bunch back in the day, but I've never owned a 308, you know, same cartridge, you know, I guess.
Oh, maybe, it is. Different.
You know, same thing. You know, I'm anxious to do that. It's a good caliber 308. I know the ballistics on it, and I've read all about it. It's dang close to an aught-six, isn't it, Larry? Pretty much, you know?
It is very close. Actually, when Thompson Center first came out with the Encore, I shot the first things with it, and I shot a moose with it in Maine, shot a moose with it in Colorado, mm-hmm. and shot an elk with it in Colorado as well, too. And that was in a 308, of course, using Hornady ammo. But
yep.
To me, that 308 is a fantastic all-around round. And, you know, people use it for long range, and I think there are probably a little bit better rounds out there if you're going to try to shoot long range. And I'm talking about shooting at steel, not so much at animal.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a great little round. To me, I'm one of the first real deer rifles I owned outside of a 30-30 was a 308.
And is that right?
Animals with it a long, long time ago, going back, oh my God, several lifetimes for some people.
I know. Here,
but,
I know.
Yeah. But, you know, that is an excellent round. And with the options that you have of the Hornady ammo and the 308,
yeah.
there is nothing in this. On this continent that you can't take with that particular round.
That's right. I'm excited about it. I'm ready to, it's something, well, for the masses, most people, I think you probably shot on 308s. For some reason, I just never have, but I'm excited about it. So yes, sir, that will collect some venison. I've got a buck up at Kubi's right now, Kubi's Game Processing there in Dallas.
Yes.
Getting us some treats made for when we get together to have some of the good sausages and all that kind of stuff to breakfast and lunch and dinner for that matter. So I was happy to get, I was a little late in collecting venison this year, but I was glad to get that venison and hope to put honestly about, I have plans for maybe three more doe, you know, to put in the freezer, three more doe and that'll make a bunch of, good meat that we can, one good use of it will be when we're all together at camp, you know, bring some of it and chicken fry it and smother it and cook it all up. So yeah, that's going to be up at the Choctaw Hunting Lodge. And I like to brag about them too a lot. ChoctawHuntingLodge.com, folks. That's where Larry's talking about. They've got an estate hunt. It high fence, yes.
Right.
A little over 1,000 acres, I think, but it is, I have a feeling some of those critters never, it's mountainous, it's hilly, it's the terrain is broken up, creek bottoms, little, we call them mini mountains. 1,000 acres in that country is a lot of land, Larry, and it's a challenging hunt because I've been there, we've hunted together and separately. It's people need to know about the Choctaw Hunting Lodge, Dusty and Nicole, Dusty's the manager, and Nicole's the, she runs, it's Dusty Kids, his wife runs the show, but she does a great job, the food and scheduling, and Dusty is an awesome guide. I'll tell you about Dusty Vickery. I really got to know him when we were stalking oryx. The oryx did not come to the feeders.
No.
Folks, Larry was with me, and I got behind Dusty with a rifle, and we were gonna try to put a stalk on these a herd of oryxes. I don't know, there was 10 or 12 of them, and very wild. These rascals were wary. They stayed in a tight group, but I followed him. That rascal is a hunter. You know that, Larry, but Dusty,
absolutely,
Dusty
yeah.
is a hunter. I was watching him, and I had no. You know, people have to look far and wide to find a guide more knowledgeable than Dusty Vickery up there. But so there's my plug for the Choctaw Hunting Lodge. Go see them, folks. You'll if you ever get up there, you'll it won't be your last time. I can almost guarantee it, Larry. You know,
I've often said it's one of my favorite places on earth. I've got about three or four of those, but it really is. And in mentioning that, the DSC chapter in Oklahoma, I think, is going to be held in their annual auction and fundraiser. And there's going to be a hunt in that auction where I'm going to host a hunt. We're still kicking back and forth what the animal is going to be, or it may be multiple animals.
Yep.
We're not real sure yet. I'm donating a 7 PRC rifle and a little bit of ammo along with that as well, thanks to the Hornady company mm-hmm. and family. And you know, they, as that becomes available, I think you're going to be able to bid on it online. Matter of fact, I know you are on online hunting auctions. So that's going to be a fabulous hunt just in itself. And like I said, we have not yet really decided what all is going to be included in that ticket or that auction item. But, you know, that's a great way to not only experience a fabulous hunt, we'll have a great time, I promise you, but you can also contribute that way to wildlife conservation, because the cool thing about the DSC chapters is that, as opposed to anything out there, their major fundraiser, they get to keep 75% of their profits to determine what they're going to do with it. 20% goes to the DSC Foundation to grant to different organizations and different efforts, but that local chapter still determines where that money goes. So essentially 95% of the dollars that they raise on that one auction, their top fundraiser, if they have a second one, they get to keep it all, but 95% of it on that top one, they determine where it goes, and only 5% of it goes to DSC proper, and that's to help guys out like Bruce Borofsky and Mike Hufstadter, who are people who go around and work with the chapters and set them up. So that's going to come up as well, too, not just the DSC convention there in Atlanta, which is going to be an absolutely great time to spend time with a lot of different folks and see some of the most fantastic hunting exhibits that you can ever imagine, hunting trips, fishing trips, you know, guns. Gosh, they got it all, and they got the best.
There is no question about that, Larry. No question about it. You know, we're the tail end of the general hunting season is at hand. It's
yes.
If our wonderful radio stations. This is the I think the 3rd of January show.
Yes, sir, right.
And then we've got muzzleloader season coming up. But there's also a lot of ranches on the managed land program with permits. So hunting is allowed in Texas on these particular ranches, and there's a bunch of them. The ranches are given X number of buck tags and X number of doe tags. So
right.
Hunting is going to be going on for, well, till the end of February. So
that's right.
Any tips, Larry? We've got enough time to a tip for late season deer hunters, you know, from now on, as far as patterning deer, finding deer. What would you say number one tip would be, Larry?
My number one tip is go hunting.
Don't I knew that was coming. I
to not go hunting because it's raining, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's too this. Go hunt. But, you know, you're right. We're coming out of the rut, and most of these animals are in absolutely great shape across the areas that I've been able to hunt, not just in Texas, but elsewhere. And so it should be set up for a really good year next year in terms of antlers. But food becomes a primary reason for those animals to move at this point. There may be in some areas of the country, talking about USA particularly, some areas where the rut doesn't really kick in until in January, mm-hmm. in the early February. But food sources, you know, yeah. In those areas where we've had acorns, thankfully, I guess we're finally out of acorns and between wild hog population, deer and squirrels, and you know, all those other kind of things. So to me, the food plots, the green fields that are out there, any substantial amount of food that's available for those animals, you're going to find them pretty close to there, because the bucks are trying to repair from the rut. The does are trying to grow fetuses. So, I mean, when you get right down to it, food is paramount. Don't forget water.
That's
in
true.
Some areas too. I know we have a lot of friends, and we do a lot of hunting in East Texas, but our eastern habitat kind of thing, there's a fair amount of water, but still, water sources are also a great place to find those animals, but food is probably primary.
Food and water. Good tips, yeah. Larry, and again, we're into the new year. We're excited. Hope everyone has a great year, and you and I will be right back here together this time next week, won't we?
Yes, we will, and I can't wait.
Folks, I want to introduce you to Vineyard Max. Now, this is an awesome deer attractant, a food attractant, that's made with hammer-milled grape skin, dried hammer-milled grape skins. It has a mixture of rice bran and also corn chops. Very effective. Deer can smell the scent of grapes from a long way, and it brings them in. I've used it in West Texas out with Larry Whitesoon, and we were out there where deer are not even exposed to grapes, and they came right in. Also, Vineyard Max has a very good line of game and fish feeders. Check them out online, vineyardmax.net. Well, friends, Mr. Larry Wysoon is going to tell you about the finest hunting optics that we have ever found.
Luke, these are called Stealth Vision. They come from Crockett, Texas. Dr. John McCall developed them. They're 34-millimeter tubes as opposed to the narrower tubes, so more light transmission. They have a little green light that comes on. That scope is leveled because that's when you want to pull the trigger. They have an optional lighted reticle as well, too, and a whole lot of other products. And folks can learn more about them by going to stealthvision.com.